Thanks, Trevor. Well, we're up to week four, like I said, of this this focus across this term on stepping stones towards spiritual growth. And the next couple of weeks, like I indicated last week, we're going to shift to relationships and the way that God uses relationships in our spiritual growth. Jill Hannon's going to speak next Sunday on life-giving relationships, the importance of life-giving relationships for us to take steps towards spiritual growth. And then the week after, Karen Latton's going to share about life-grating relationships, the times when we don't find it easy in relationship with others, and how God uses those really significantly if we allow them to be the case in our spiritual growth. So that's what's coming. And we'll review a little of where we've been as a part of this morning. But it was about 15 years ago that I, as a part of building a relationship with our next door neighbour, that I began to take any interest at all in planting and growing fruit, vegetables and herbs. Up until that point, I had taken no interest whatsoever in it. But it was important to me, as it still is today, to build relationships with those around me, in my neighbourhood and my immediate neighbours. And so I began to get to know Eric, this man called Eric, and he knew everything there was, it seemed to me, like he knew everything there was to know about planting and growing things. Now, I still wouldn't say that I know much about it, but I certainly know more now than I did before I got to know Eric. And I learned from Eric that before you plant something, you need to do some preparation. I didn't have a clue about growing things in the garden, let alone preparing the ground beforehand as a part of that process. And today, as we come to this fourth stepping stone towards spiritual growth of reading and reflecting on the Bible, this is building on what we have already looked at. Because before we come to read and reflect on the Bible, we need to have done some preparing before that. We need to have prepared the ground of our hearts and our minds. And that's what we've looked at over the last couple of weeks, where we've looked at reviewing and releasing. Just reading the Bible without a heart that has reviewed our days or our weeks before God, or just reading the Bible without having released to God things that we might be carrying, is like planting seeds in the ground and just expecting them to grow, without having done any preparatory work beforehand, without having broken up the ground at all, or without adding any fertilizer to help them grow. And I've done that. I've just put seeds in the ground and wondered why they didn't grow. Well, you might say it's obvious, not very smart. But spiritually, we can do that too. We can just read our Bibles and read them somewhat irregularly or somewhat randomly, let alone create space and time for prayerfully reviewing and releasing things so God can speak to us. Words are such an important part of shaping our lives. The words that others speak to us, our own words. But what about the most important words of all? God's words. Three questions for each of us to ask ourselves this morning as we think about the place that God's words have in our lives. Question number one, how are God's seeds being planted in my life? How are God's seeds being planted in my life? And in the parable of the sower, as Trevor just read it to you, Jesus speaks about things being planted and seed being scattered. Let me just go back to some of those verses. It says, Jesus taught them many things by parables, and in his teaching he said, listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. And Jesus gives the parable, and in this case, he then gives an explanation of it. And when we go across to verse 13 and 14, he says in verse 14, the farmer sows the word. So what Jesus is describing here, he's joining the dots. He's saying what he's describing is God's seeds. He's describing the seeds of God's words being sown or planted. And often when this parable is looked at, the focus is how that how that happens in others. We focus on, it can land on good ground or on rocky ground, or some people receive God's words and God's seeds that are planted in them and they go deep, and others don't. And we can easily focus that on others. But to just do that would be to miss the significance of the work of God in us. Because God's seeds are planted in all of our lives. And they're not just planted when we find faith in Jesus, but they're planted along the way as we follow Jesus along life's path. And unlike seeds in a garden bed that are planted or sown at particular times, at set times and set seasons, God's seeds aren't like that. God's seeds are sown anywhere and everywhere along life's path. God's seeds are not just planted on a Sunday when we gather like this, but they're planted through your days and through your weeks. God's seeds are thoughts or words that begin a work of God in us or through us. And they can take many different forms. They can be a prompting from God to say or do something. They can be a prompting from God to come alongside a particular person. They can be a prompting or a nudge from God for a part of our life to be attentive to. God's seeds that can lead to spiritual growth. They can easily be missed. They can easily be mistaken. They can easily be moved on from and never really grow as it's described in this parable. In verse 4, it says, as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path and the birds came and ate it up. In other words, it fell, but it never went anywhere. It was there one moment, gone the next. And as we read on to the verse 15, it says, some people are like seed along the path, where that word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Have you had any God seeds that you might have brushed off? Maybe you thought they seemed so small or so insignificant. But God's greatest work in any of our lives often starts at the place of a small beginning of a God seed. It may not start as something really, really significant, but it has the potential to grow into that, just like what Jesus speaks about here and even later in the chapter, in that very chapter in verses 31 to 32, he tells another parable of the smallest seed of all, the mustard seed. And he says, what shall we say the kingdom of God or the work of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of all seeds, all seeds. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds can perch in its shade. Start small. Starts with a seemingly insignificant seed. That's the way God works. So the first question is, what am I doing? Or what am I doing with the God seeds that are being planted in my life? Well, am I recognizing those God seeds? Am I allowing them to grow into something more significant? And that leads on to question number two. Am I creating space for taking in or reading God's word in my life? As I said in that preview clip, if what's been planted in my garden at home, or your garden, if you've got a garden, is going to grow, I need to find time in my life to regularly water those seeds. Like I said, God will do some of the watering, and I'm thankful for that, but I still need to play my part. And if the God seeds that God plants in our lives are going to grow as well, we need to find time to sustain and nourish them. How do we do that? Through reading the Bible. There's no substitute for reading God's word, the Bible. I ate breakfast this morning. You probably all did. And I'll eat breakfast next Sunday morning. Actually, it'll be a Fijian one next Sunday morning. That'll be great. Tropical fruit, just to make you jealous. But you know what? I'll eat in between as well. I won't just rely on the breakfast I ate this morning to get me through the day, let alone to get me through the week. And it's no different when it comes to our spiritual lives. If you rely on just taking in God's word on a Sunday, and then again next Sunday, with next to nothing in between of reading God's word for yourself, it's going to be hard to survive spiritually or be sustained spiritually, let alone grow spiritually. All of us need to regularly create space and time in our lives, busy as our lives might be, to take in and read God's word, the Bible, just like we need to create space and time to eat. How or what or when we read isn't as important as that we just do it. Just like how or what or when we eat isn't as important as that we just eat. The Bible is not just any old book. The Bible is the life-giving words of God. These are inspired by God. The Bible is inspired by and breathed into by God. And as it says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, and for training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now, again, we want to break this down as much as we can for you and to help you in the what, the how, and the when of reading God's word or taking in God's words. What should you take in? What should you read? Well, that says all of it. It says there, all scripture is God-breathed. But the Gospels, the Gospels are a great place to start. If you're not sure where to read, well, read one of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. And that's the life of Jesus. And that's a great place to start. The Psalms, the Proverbs, they're parts of the Bible that I think a great starting points in terms of developing a regular reading of God's word. So what should you read? How should you read? More on that in a moment. But God's word, the Bible, should be read for transformation, not for information. It's not about how much we know. It's not about what we know. It's about what we read transforming us. And there's a very big difference. You can read the Bible in a whole lot of ways. You can read the Bible from a hard copy, that I do, but you can read or take in God's word from your phone electronically these days. You can listen to CDs or podcasts of the Bible being read, even or of explanation of things. You can use Bible reading resource guides, and Greg Gorfine down on the back serving behind the scenes there, he's our Bible he's our point person for that here, providing resources that help us with reading the Bible. It's good to mix things up too. My experience is that it's good to mix things up so that you get different and fresh insights. Do any of us eat the same food all the time? Of course we don't. We mix up what we eat. Of course we have food that we particularly enjoy and that we like to eat, but we don't eat that all the time. And at the moment, and so that's been important in my own spiritual growth, and as I've observed in others, to mix up what you read or what you take in from God's word. And at the moment, and I think I've shared some months ago about this. At the moment, I'm reflecting this Jesus. It's just called Jesus. It's a paraphrase of the Gospels together, brought together in chronological order of the account of the life and ministry of Jesus. And it's really quite refreshing. And a few people that, when I shared last time about it, that got hold of one and are reading it for themselves, are finding the same. So the point is, just mix it up, do different things along the way, read different parts, and doesn't matter what, even mix up the translations that you might read from. When should you read? Whenever works best for you. There's no set time. We don't want to be. It's important not to be prescriptive about this. Whenever works best for you. The key thing is to just find space and time for it regularly in our lives. Question number one: how are God's seeds being planted in each of us? Question number two: how am I finding space and time for taking in God's words? And third and final question: am I allowing God's word to soak right through my life? Colossians chapter 3, verse 16 says this. It says,
let the peace of Christ dwell among you. It goes on to say, let the message of Christ, or let the word of Christ dwell in you, or dwell among you richly. And one of the paraphrases that I read recently said, let the word of Christ soak into you. What can easily happen in my life or in your life, in any of our lives, with the God seeds that God plants in our hearts, if we don't allow God's word to soak right through? What can happen is described exactly by Jesus in this parable. Verses 15 to 19, Jesus says, some people are like seeds sown along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like seeds sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seeds sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, or the deceitfulness of wealth, or the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. If God's words that we hear or read are not going to just be there one moment and gone the next, that can easily happen. I know it's true with me. If you ask me what did I read last week? What did I read a month ago? You forget. We all do it. And so if that's not going to be the case, if God's words are not going to be not just bounce off us or get squeezed out, we need to take time to let them sink into our hearts, into our minds and in our souls, to reflect on and not just read God's word. And that's why we are calling this stepping stone towards spiritual growth, not just reading God's word, but reflecting on it. Really, really important to not just read God's word, but to reflect on it as well. In fact, the psalm writer speaks of this sort of thing in the very first psalm, the second verse of the whole of the psalms. But it describes, blessed is the one whose delight is in the law or the word of the Lord, and who meditates on his law or his word day and night. And over into Psalm 119, a similar sentiment where it says, your commands or your words are always with me, they make me wise, wiser than my enemies. I have more insight than all my teachers, for I meditate on your statutes or words. We've got this big, lovable Labrador dog, and he loves to eat. He'll eat anything and everything. There's no tomorrow. He eats like there's no tomorrow. He just scoffs. And we're often saying, slow down, Jack. Slow down. When it comes to reading God's word, it's much, much better to slow down instead of scoffing or skimming. It's much better to reflect on, not just read, but reflect on or meditate on what God is saying to us so that we digest it and take it in properly. Meditation is a word that has a lot of connotations in the culture and world that we live in today. But meditation in the biblical sense is not about emptying our minds. But meditation is about filling our minds with God's thoughts. Meditation in the right sense, in the biblical sense, is there in the Bible. It's about filling our minds and our hearts with God's thoughts and God's words in a way that they soak in. And that doesn't come from rushing. That doesn't come from just reading big chunks but not reflecting on it. No, reading smaller bite-sized amounts and really taking it in is actually more beneficial than reading big chunks and skimming over what's there. Some years ago with the garden, I discovered that a soaker hose was a really effective way to water what I'd planted in the garden. The soaker hose for spiritual growth is reflecting or meditating on God's words. Just take one thought away from what we read and what we reflect on when we read or reflect on or take in God's word in some way. Take one thought away that means that we carry that with us through our day, or carry that with us through our week. And doing that is much more productive than just reading a lot more, but actually not carrying any of it with us into our day or our week. So as we wrap up, let's just draw this together in a practical sense. To grow spiritually as we bring together these last few weeks and the stepping stones of not only reading and reflecting on God's word, but of reviewing and releasing. To grow spiritually, we need all of those together as a part of our time spent with God. We need a multidimensional approach to spending time with God. Let me use an example, it's just a guide. 8 minutes a day. No, it's not much, but it's a starting point. It's just an example. Most days, all of us can find 8 minutes. The amount of time actually isn't as important as how you spend it. It could be 20 minutes, it could be 30 minutes, it could be 5 minutes, could be 50 minutes, whatever. That's not the most critical thing. What's most critical is how you spend it. How do you spend 8 minutes with God in a day in a way that will lead towards spiritual growth? Quarter of each of those things. 2 minutes reviewing, 2 minutes releasing, 2 minutes reading, and 2 minutes reflecting. And whatever the amount of time, more than 8 minutes or whatever, any other number, just break it down into those four components. Take a quarter of your time to review before God. We spoke about that a couple of weeks ago. Review, how has God been present and active in my life? Review what patterns have been emerging in my life that need God to be working in. Take another quarter of the time, another couple of minutes, to release things that you're carrying. Release things that you're carrying before God, like we spoke on last week. These two things, reviewing and releasing, are prayerful things. They're things that you do prayerfully before God. That's a part of prayerfully learning to trust God and to release things before Him. Then comes and that's the preparing of the ground. That's the preparing of the ground of our hearts and our minds and our souls to then be able to take in God's word, taking God's word in the fullest sense. Then do that for a quarter of your time. Read God's word. What some people do, my experience is that they just read. They don't do the other bits. And to do that is to miss the fullness of all that God has for us. Then take the other quarter of your time to reflect on what you've read. Go back over it. Just reread it and think more about it. Let it soak in and perhaps identify one thing to take away from it, one thing that God is specifically speaking to you about, one thing that you can connect with, one thing that is perhaps a God seed for you. I've found this in my spiritual growth to be a really important principle. Not only release the preparing of the ground of our hearts and minds through releasing and reviewing, then the reading and reflecting. We will all be at different places in this. That's okay, but wherever you're at, the most important thing is to take a step forward from where you're at now. Maybe just a small step, but take some step towards spiritual growth. Three simple words to take away today when it comes to God's words shaping our lives: seeds, space, and soak. Seeds, space, and soak. Let the God seeds that He plants in you grow. Let them grow as you create space for reading God's word and taking in God's word in your life. And let God's words soak into you as you take time to reflect on it. Let's pray together. God, we thank You for Your word. We thank You that seeds come from You, that You plant in us. The seeds that You plant in us are there to sustain us spiritually. They are there to grow us spiritually. They are there to help us take the next steps spiritually in our lives. And so we thank You for Your word, and we thank You for the way that You have given us Your word, the way that You have revealed yourself to us through Your word, and the way that Your word is life-giving for our life and our faith. Help us to take the next steps, whatever they might be for each of us. They'll be different for each of us, but help us to take the next steps in creating space in our lives for reading and reflecting on your word, as well as preparing the ground of our hearts and minds by reviewing and releasing. God, help us to build these things into our lives so that they become a part of them, so that they become something that is a catalyst for your work in our lives. May we allow your words to soak deep into our hearts and minds, rather than bouncing off or being there and then just moving on and then the fullness of those words being lost. May we carry your words with us into our days and weeks, so that we don't just have them in one moment, but don't take those words with us into our everyday lives. God, thank you so much for your words, but we thank you for your work too. We thank you for what a seed can become and grow into because of the work of your Spirit. Thank you that as we come now to remind ourselves of your work on the cross, as we come to remember and reflect on that now, thank you that the two go hand in hand, your word and your work. And so we come afresh before you and thank you for all that you are, for all that you've done, and all that you want to continue to do in each of our lives, in and through the work of your Spirit. And we pray that this would be for your glory and for your honour. In your name we pray. Amen. Rob's going to come and